Hey there, everyone. Welcome to Holy Man, a journey of becoming godly men. You know, no matter if we are sons or husbands, dads, grandfathers, or just any regular guy out there, we are going to try to figure out how God would want us to live on this journey called life. None of us have it all figured out. So let's dig into God's Word and wrestle with God's Word as we try to become who God created us to be, specifically, holy men. Hey there, men. It is good to be with all of you today, and I say all of you, and that means a lot of you. I was just talking with Grant the other day, and just so you know, Grant is the amazing guy on our staff here at New Life who does all of the technical stuff for us in producing these podcasts, so thank you to Grant. But Grant was just sharing with me the other day some of the numbers of how many of you men out there are listening to this podcast every week, and I was blown away, actually. Over the first 4 weeks of the podcasts, there have been around 70 to 80 guys listening each week. Most of you are guys here at New Life, but a few of you are family and friends from back in PA or in other places in the country, and it's just good to have all of you. It's exciting. It's just cool that there are that many of you who are on this journey with me of figuring out how we as men might take steps toward a holy life. I know that I'm not there yet, but man, I long for it. I don't know about you, but I do. I long for what a holy life could look like. I know that each step I make towards that holy life is a good step. And I know every time I regress a little bit, that's not a good step. And I know this based upon the steps that I have made throughout my life to this point. I know that each of those steps I take make my life better and make me better at life. And I'm sure that there are many of you men out there who could tell me the same thing because of what you have experienced on this journey of your faith as you just can keep going. So what are we going to talk about today then? Well, again, just to remind all of us that we are looking at this theme over these first 8 weeks of not being able to control the world around us, that we can't control the people around us, and truthfully, we can't even control ourselves. But can we influence the world around us, the people around us, and yes, even ourselves by allowing the Holy Spirit of God to change us and then live through us as we become more and more holy men? Well, this one today is probably, in my opinion, I guess I'd say over these 8 weeks that we're going to look at it, it's probably the most important holy man episode. You know, I waited a few weeks to get into it, but it is the one that has the most potential of changing your life. It is the one that has the potential to affect all the other parts of your life, which we've already dug into, and the ones that we'll talk about the next couple weeks, like how we drive, how we handle our finances, how we deal with the family who we can't control, how we communicate with others, and yes, even how we look into politics. Well, this week, this topic will have the potential to affect every one of those other areas of life and the things that we'll discuss in the future. So, are you listening? Did you just hear what I said? I mean, yes, you can hear that this is an important one. And truthfully, I have a little passion about this one because of how much I know it can change a man's life. You know, I've witnessed it over and over. When a man is willing to do what we'll be talking about today, their lives change. Not instantly, but over time, yeah. All right, so what are we talking about? Well, it's these things called spiritual disciplines or habits that help us on our journey with God. Yes, things like prayer and reading the Bible and worship and other habits that we'll talk about here in a couple minutes that help us in our relationship with God. Now, for some of you listening, you might be thinking, I already do that, so do I really even need to listen? And I want to say yes. Please keep listening because I will certainly have something for you in this talk as well. So why is this important? Why am I so passionate about this? Well, let's look at it from the theme that we've been utilizing over these first several weeks. You know, the things that we can't control and the things that we can hopefully influence. What do they look like? Well, for many men, the primary thing that happens in your walk with God is what you hear the pastor preach on Sunday mornings. That's for many men, not all of you, but for many men, it's only what you're hearing on a Sunday morning when you attend worship. And for many men, whether it's for work or vacations or hobbies or just staying at home to rake the leaves, for many men, hearing the pastor's sermon only happens maybe 2/3 of the week throughout a year. So over the course of a year, you hear 25 to 30 minutes talks about God. And two of those messages are probably a Christmas and Easter sermon. So the only thing happening in your walk with God is dependent or controlled by whatever the pastor decides that the entire congregation needs to hear in those 25 to 30 messages when you're attending. And here's the thing, you can't control the messages going into your walk with God then. It's depending on what the pastor decides. And because we can't control the world around us and all the world's messages that hit us each day, we hear a lot of things that are not godly that are affecting us as well. And whether you believe it or not, there is this thing called Satan. And Satan is out there and he wants to control our situation. Satan is very intentional at keeping us far away from God. So if we're not being intentional in our walk with God, then it's kind of out of our control of what that relationship with God will look like. And truthfully, we'll get what we get, a very shallow, not close relationship with God. And that will make our life and the lives of those around us worse, not better. So are you getting it? Are you getting why this is so important? We can't control. If we're not intentional, then we're not able to control what's going into our heart. But on the flip side, if we become intentional, if we begin to allow God to walk with us, collaborate, I love that word, collaborate with us on this relationship with Him, it will begin to influence that relationship. And that will then influence every other part of our lives. If you begin to build habits into your life that allows you to get to know God better, it will change your life. Or, let's say it like we've been saying it, it will influence the life you live. You know, I remember back when I was in seminary, that was my pastor school, and we had my New Testament professor, his name was Dr. Buckwalter. And anybody that takes a class with Dr. Buckwalter is just blown away by what this man brings to the table. It's not just the information that he shares with us about the New Testament, but more, when you sat in a class with him, by the time the class was over, it just felt like you were walking out of the Holy of Holies because of how he just brought you into the presence of God to help you to understand the heart of God through the Word of God. But the coolest thing, with all the stuff that I learned in his classes, the biggest thing that I heard over and over, almost every single lecture that I sat in with him, and I had a lot of classes with him, he said this one thing at the end of every single lecture. And that was this. Although this is all important that we're learning, and it's all going to be helping you to become a better pastor and a better counselor and a better teacher, but here's the biggest thing you need to know, and that is simply know Him more. That's what He wanted to get across to us over and over and over again. No matter how much we learn some Greek and some Hebrew and how to dig into the Bible a little bit better, He said all that stuff is not as good as simply knowing the heart of God more. The more we have a deeper relationship with God, the better of a pastor we're going to be. You know, I could be the best preacher at taking something out of the Bible and communicating it to the congregation, but if I don't know God's heart, then I'm not truthfully sharing God's heart. And sharing God's heart is always better. Know Him more. That's what Dr. Buchwalter wanted us all to know. Well, these disciplines or these habits that we do can help us to know Him more, especially if that's the reason we're doing them. I mean, if you're just reading the Bible as a historical text, well, it's a history book then. But if you're reading it intentionally because you want to know the heart of God more, well, God and the power of the Holy Spirit, it's going to help you to know Him more. So what are some of these habits or disciplines that we can get into? Well, guys, most of you already know some of them, and many of you are already doing some of them. I mean, if you're worshiping at church on Sunday, well, then you are doing some of them. That's something that you're doing to help your relationship with God. Some of you are reading the Bible. Some of you are serving others at the church or in the community, and that is a discipline or a habit. Listening to God-focused podcasts, that's something else. Reading good books. And of course, reading the Bible, praying. You know, some others are meeting in small groups, like some of you are in life groups and studying the Word together. Fasting, solitude, slowing down your life, simplicity, celebration, confession in your small groups. Those are all things that you can do as part of your walk with God. Now, if you want to learn some of these different habits or disciplines at a bigger level to understand what they are and how do they work, well, I have two books that I just want to suggest to you. If you haven't heard them before, you might want to jot them down. One of them is called The Celebration of Discipline. It's a classic. It was written many years ago by a man named Richard Foster, and it's known to be the classic of this area of our walk. And another one that is written a little bit more recently, still several years ago, but it was written by John Ortberg, and it's called The Life You've Always Wanted. Now, just hear that title, The Life You've Always Wanted. Well, how do I get that life that I've always wanted? Well, it's finding these habits that help me to find that life. So, I mean, those are all things that we can do. And again, some of you are doing some of them, but for many of you, you're really just dabbling in them. And for some of you, it can be just like a religion. I do it because I should. You know, I go to Sunday mornings because it's what I should do, or it's what my wife tells me I should do. I serve because I would feel guilty if I didn't. I join the family for prayer before we eat because I was taught that that's a good thing. I even meet in a life group because I was told it can help my life a little bit, or I just like hanging out with the guys. But if I'm only going through the motions and not intentionally doing all of those habits because of wanting to know God more, I mean, they'll help me to become a churchy person, and it might help me even a little bit with my walk with God, but I might not go as far as I could go because I'm not being intentional. For instance, my marriage could be that way. You know, Karen and I could go through life eating meals together, going to church together, doing vacations together, raising the kids together. We could work on projects around the house, et cetera, et cetera. We could do all of these activities together. But if that's all my marriage would be, it would stink. It would just not be good. I mean, there's no depth to that, no intimacy. You know, if I want to have a great marriage, then I need to invest in her. I need to talk deeply with her. I need to date her. I need to share special moments together with her, et cetera, et cetera. You know, do you see the difference? One is simply going through the motions. The other is that there's an intentionality behind it of longing for something better. You know, basically, you get out of it what you put into it, or it kind of depends on your attitude in it. Just finished reading a book not too long ago that helped me with this. I liked it so much that I'm actually using a part of it as a study for my one men's group. It's called The Power of Knowing God. That's written by Tony Evans. And you hear that title, The Power of Knowing God. There's power in knowing Him more. And at one point, Tony writes this. He says, there exists a strategy in the Christian life that few people ever realize. Despite their best attempts at living the abundant life, that Christ died to secure for them, they fall short. And even though the strategy requires very little external adjustment on their part, when that adjustment is made, it makes all the difference in the world. What is a strategy to living out the fullness of your victory as a child of the King? It involves how well you know God. And then get this. This is what he says. He says, knowing God ought to be your life's greatest pursuit. Knowing God ought to be your life's greatest pursuit. If you want your life to be better, if you want to be better at life, if you want to have a connection with the Creator of the world, an intimate connection, it is possible. The Creator wants it. He even pursues you. It's on us. Are you willing to pursue Him back? Now, guys, I have to tell you, it's been fun as a pastor for many years that, man, I have heard so many excuses of why, and especially us men, why we can't get this done, why we're not willing to make this our greatest pursuit. I've heard a lot of them. You know, one of them I hear regularly is, I don't have enough time. You know, just the other day, after church, I was sitting in the lobby with a couple, and we were talking about their marriage. And they're a new couple, just newly married. And they had asked for some materials to be able to help certain areas of their marriage get better. And I asked them, "How are you doing with that? You know, spending any time with that material?" I gave, and then they gave me this look of, "No, we really didn't." And so I said, "What's going on?" And they said, "Well, we have all these things that we're involved in." And I said, "Okay." I said, "So how important is your marriage?" And they said, "Well, it's very important." I said, "Well, no, you're not showing me that." You see, because we prioritize the things that are most important to us. We prioritize the things that we pursue the most in life, the things we want most out of life. If you want to do something, if you think something's important enough, guess what? You're going to make it happen. To say that we don't have enough time is to say that all the other things that are in our schedule are more important than pursuing God. Another one I heard, this is one I heard from my own dad. He said that he couldn't remember what he read. And then, of course, I proved to him, "Dad, wait a second. You can tell me every NASCAR racer there is and what their number of their car is. You can tell me who all the players are on the Penn State football team. And you know, you can remember all these other things that you read in the news, but you're telling me you can't remember anything you read out of the Bible? Well, maybe you're not reading it as much as what you're reading these other things, Dad." He didn't like my answer, but he understood I was telling the truth. And he started reading and we started talking about it. And what do you know? He started remembering a little bit. Another one was, I just heard this from someone here recently in our church. He says, "I'm not a good reader." Well, in today's world, you can get on the Bible app and the Bible, they'll read it to you. And you can even pick what voice they use to read it to you. And so this gentleman, once he realized that that excuse wasn't going to work, he's been reading the Bible. I told him, start in the Gospel of Matthew, and doggone it, he started. And he's been touching base with me of what he's been reading and questions that he has. It's been cool. Another one is, "I don't know where to start. You know, I started in the beginning of the Bible," someone might say, "and I get into that book called Leviticus and I get stuck in it and then I just stop." And I get that. So don't start there. You know, talk to someone else about where you might start. Maybe, you know, again, start the Gospel of Matthew and read all four stories, four different perspectives, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John on the life of Jesus. Start there and then maybe start looking at some other places. But yeah. That's not a good excuse. Some people, when they're talking about prayer, they say, "Prayer is just weird. It feels weird talking to someone who isn't personally there in front of me." And I get that. And so figure out a different way to understand it. I just read a book here not too long ago. It talked about two chairs, and sitting in one chair and having another chair in front of you and just imagining that Jesus is sitting in that chair and have a conversation with that person. And I shared that book with someone else and they loved it. That imagery allowed them to start praying and having a conversation with God. Excuses are simply what Satan puts in our minds and our hearts to keep us from making that habit into what God can help it to be. You know, I think about, there's a guy in one of my life groups and he just retired not too long ago. And this is a man who, since he retired, has just dove into his relationship with Christ. He started reading the Bible and doing all kinds of devotions and praying more. And he has shared the testimony. His life with Christ has changed dramatically. But you know, the coolest witness that he's sharing with the younger guys in our life group, our men's life group, he says, don't do what I did. Don't wait. He says, the biggest mistake I made is I didn't start my relationship with God, at least not in a deep way, until I retired, when I thought I had time. He says, if I could do it all over again, I would tell younger me, don't wait. Start when you're younger. Make time, because he says it's changing his life, and he wished he would have changed his life back then. You know, for those of you who are already practice some of those habits like reading the Bible and listening to podcasts like this one and prayer and other habits, I encourage you, always be looking for a new and fresh way to keep your relationship with God going strong. You know, for instance, Pastor Mike and I just found a book that we're going to read together. It's a book called The Common Role, Habits of Purpose in an Age of Distraction. In the table of contents, it shares some of the habits that the author wants us to dig into, things like kneeling in prayer, both morning, noon, and afternoon, or morning and evening, an hour with the phone off every day, and scripture time in the morning before tech, meal time with others, an hour phone call with a friend. You know, some of these habits they're going to suggest that we do every day, and some of them are going to be more weekly. You know, I can't tell you which ones are which because I haven't read the book yet. But see, I want to tell you that Mike and I are doing this. Why? Because Mike and I are not yet happy with our relationship with God. We want to know more. And so even though both of us have a great relationship with God, it's up and it's down, you know, just like everybody else, but we have a strong relationship with God, but we're not happy yet. We want more. We want to go deeper with God. And so we're willing to do the things, find out new habits, ways that we can get stronger with God. Guys, this is a big one. You can't control the world around you and how Satan will use it to keep you distracted and far from God. You can't control what the pastor preaches in your church each week. You know, it might be good and it might not be. It might not hit you where you need to hear. But here's the deal. You can take steps to influence your walk with God, your relationship with God. And therefore, you could influence the quality of your life and the lives of those around you. Stop making excuses. You know, man up. Become the man who God created you to be, a holy man. And that's a man who knows God's heart. Guys, we have two more weeks on this present journey. And then I'll probably take a short break over the Christmas season and then kick back into it in January, and especially with so many of you on this journey with me, walking with me, you know, I'm definitely going to be kicking back into it, maybe not till life group in mid-February, but there's a chance I'll kick into something short in January. Now, you can't control what I'm going to talk about, but you could potentially influence me. If you have a great idea of where I should potentially go in the next podcast that I jump into in the new year, maybe a certain topic or part of God's word or a character in the Bible to consider, you know, let me know your thoughts. You know, email me. You know, guys, I'm humbled that so many of you have chosen to walk this journey with me. And I pray that God will overwhelm all of us by the power of His Holy Spirit, that we might all know Him more and more, and then become the holy men who He created us to be. God wants to draw near to you. He longs for it. Are you willing to do what's necessary? Are you willing to create the habits that will allow you to draw nearer to God, to know Him more? I guarantee you guys, it'll change your life as you become holy men. Have a great day.